Let's stand, please. Thank you, Monica, for that beautiful, beautiful song. Appreciate that. Take your Bible, please, this morning. I want you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, I want you to start with me in verse number 3, please. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the beautiful songs today and the music that has been presented. And Lord, I thank you today for the privilege of being in this place. Like Rob's prayer was, we are privileged today to come into this place, to God, to worship you. And we are thankful today that we have the Word of God that we can read and lift up your name. And Lord, we pray today if there's an individual in this room that does not know Jesus Christ, that today, Father, you would open up their hearts and minds to receive the glorious truth of Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you've watched the news or anything lately, and it's interesting in the sense that there's not much good news, is there, anymore, if you read the papers or if you listen to the TV and if you listen to that stuff, you'll find that there's not much good going on in the world, is there? And as we see history and all of that, it kind of weighs people down, and we find ourselves getting, if you allow it to be depressing, in the sense that that's the world system, and that's where we are in this day and age in which we live. There just doesn't seem to be much good news. But I want to say today that as you and I, as Christians, this is a very glorious portion of Scripture. This is good news for you and I today in this, what we read, because, wow, it lifts us up to where we really need to be. And I really appreciated that the songs today were about heaven. I'm going home. And, like Monica's song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Boy, do we need the things of this old world to be dimmed down and see the glory of Almighty God. And so I want to give us maybe some uplifting things today. This Christian life in which we are involved in is a supernatural living, isn't it? Supernatural. We're saved by the very power of God coming down into our hearts and lives, and we're born again from above by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's exciting. I don't know whether you're excited about your Christian experience. We ought to be excited about our Christian lives. There ought to be an excitement about our lives that this world sees and says, what makes that guy tick? What is there about that individual that really makes them the way they are? I don't understand what's going on. I remember I had a guy by the name of Glenn Wilson. I worked with him, and I worked at Lilly for about 2 weeks, and I worked with Glenn. He was my mentor. And he didn't get the privilege because Glenn, he hit the tavern quite often and all of that. And he was pretty much one of those guys that just ran around all the time. And he was opposite of me. One day he came up to me at Lilly and he says, "You're different, aren't you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't go to where we go and all of that." He says, you're kind of weird. And I said, "Well, in that sense, I guess I am weird." I said, "I just don't go that route anymore." He said, "That's what I thought." I said, "You're just kind of odd." Now, I'll be honest with you, I never did get to reach Glenn Wilson for the Lord. But I always will remember when he came up to me and said, "You're just kind of odd and you're kind of weird." You know, this world ought to see Christians today as odd and weird. There ought to be something about us that this world sees as different. It ought to be an exciting Christianity. How many of us today have an exciting Christian life? Exciting Christianity. Like I mentioned, there ought to be a smile on our faces because I'm going home. Scripture tells us this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Like the other song said, my home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't know where it is, but I do know this. My Lord Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And, you know, he's been doing that for about 2,000 years. I can't imagine what he can do in 2,000 years when he created everything in 7 days. Interesting. But I want to talk a little bit this morning about maybe looking out of our Christian lives today and maybe expanding our vision. What do you got to do in your Christian life that the world will see as supernatural? Supernatural. Well, the first thing, and you can write these down or you can just forget them, whatever you want to, but I just wrote these things down years ago. This is an old-time sermon. I preached this sermon, I'll be honest with you, back in 1998. The first one is, learn to think supernaturally. Learn to think supernaturally. You see, Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." We are what we think about. Think about supernatural things. Think about, how many of you today said this last week you thought about heaven? Thought about heaven. Thought about the reality, and as we study the book of Revelation and we're going through that and we see all the things that are coming down from heaven. The interesting thing is we become what we think about, aren't we? We become what we think about. You'll never do anything that you didn't think about first. Oh, you say, "Well, I've done a lot in my life that I should have thought about." No, you thought about it and you did it. And that's where we are in our lives. We determine the way we think by the act of our own will. What we will in our lives, we think about. We need to change our thought life. How many of you work with people that are doom and gloom? Doom and gloom. Boy, that's a depressing day if you have to go to work and you think of people that are doom and gloom. I worked with a young man, another guy at Lilly, constant complainer. Complained if the sun was shining, it was too bright. If it was raining, it was too wet. Just constantly complain. Finally, I said, yeah, you know, you're hard to deal with. You're hard to get along with, period. But we need to change our thought life. Saturate our minds. I was thinking about this morning. One day I was flying, and I was flying with the colonel, and the colonel says, hey, let's go flying. All right. I said, all right. I said, where are we going? He says, we're going to take this airplane up to as high as it'll go. We're going to test it out. I said, okay, colonel, I'm with you. So we had a two-seat F-100, and we flew. And we went up to 51,000 feet. And you know, and I, as I thought about this, and I said, you know, that's, you can almost see the earth curve. You could almost see it. Now, I know most of you, maybe Dan, you've been that high, but 51,000 feet's a ways up there. The air's pretty thin up there. And the old F-100 was just kind of chugging along, you know, very, very, just no response at all. And I thought, you know, to be able to be up here and to see what this looks like from up here, and of course, back in those days, that was back in the 70s, and so there was a smog layer that covered the earth. You don't see so much of it now, but there was a smog layer, and you know what? We were above the smog layer, and if you look down, everything would just look entirely different. But above that was amazing brightness. You know, I think, to use that as an illustration, that's the way our mind ought to be when we take our focus from down here, earthly, and point it heavenly. It should open up and be the brightest thing. Saturate our minds, first of all, with the Word of God. How many of you today are in a program of memorization of God's Word? Let me just put it this way. All of you young people, memorize God's Word when you're young. Because when you get old, memory is difficult. Difficult. How many of you still remember those geometric equations that you were supposed to memorize? Geometry, you know. You were supposed to memorize some certain geometric equations, you know. If you can do that now, I know you can memorize God's Word. Which is most important, that or God's Word? Well, I'll say this, God's Word. Don't worry about geometry. Okay, all right. We're told in Colossians chapter number 3, seek those things which are above, not down here. And yet, you know, our minds are so much in tune with that it's down here. You know, there's a song as we sang, pain, suffering, anguish, hurt, depression down here. Of course, I worked for Eli Lilly for over 30 years, and they made a killing off of Prozac. Of course, it's no longer Prozac anymore. It's a million other antidepressants. But, you know, isn't it great to not be depressed? Isn't it great to be able to say, I can take my burdens and leave them to the Lord? And you know what? He wants me to do that because he cares for me. Thinking supernaturally this morning, we're no longer servants, we're sons. I'm a child of God. I'm not a child of the devil. You see, there's only two kind of children in the world. There's a child of the devil, and then there's a child of God. You and I are one of those. There's no difference. You're either this one or you're that one. There's no third. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And we're no longer the sons of Satan anymore. We're called a child of God. John 1:12 says, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So how do you become a son of God? You believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save our sin-sick souls. Man, I thank God that he did that when I was 8 years old. And he'll save your soul too. I'm no longer lost, the scripture says. I'm found. Oh, was I the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? Yeah, I was. Yeah. Deb will tell you that some of the teachers at school said, "We can't believe that Jack Hopkins is a preacher." No, neither can Jack Hopkins believe it. No, because they knew me when I was young. I'm no longer an alien. I'm a citizen of God Almighty. And one of these days, I'm going home. I'm going home. You know, I really believe I'm closer to heaven now than I am really here to the earth, because I'm almost at that age where it's about time to go home. I told Deb, I think it was last week or so, I said, "Do you know, in 15 years, I'll be almost 90 years old." Don't laugh, McKinley. That seems impossible. Some of you in here are maybe 15 years old. Just think of that. One day you'll be 90. Okay. So think of our spiritual heritage. This scripture talks about our spiritual inheritance. I love verse number 4. God Almighty has given me an inheritance, and there's 4 things there that I really like. First, an inheritance that's incorruptible. It will never be diminished. It's incorruptible. It's not going to rust, ruin, or rot. I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is, but I do know this, that God says, "I've got an inheritance." And I got that inheritance when I received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life. Scripture says it like this: I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In other words, everything that Christ will receive in glory are mine too. And I like that. But notice the second thing there. He says it's not only incorruptible, it's undefiled. Nothing is going to be able to tarnish it at all. Undefiled or indefiled. And that fadeth not away. How many of you have lost anything in your 401ks? You know, isn't it interesting, 401ks? You put it in the bank and you think it's going to stay there or whatever. I'm glad we don't even have one, do we, dear? We don't have a 401k. I don't even know how to spell 401k, you know? But anyway, I was listening. I read the Epic Times magazine the other day. Elon Musk one day lost, $24 billion. One day, lost $24 billion. That's more money than some countries have as far as their economy. You know, and I get to thinking, you know, I've got more than that. You know, all I have to do is wait for it. That prodigal son said, Father, give me. Give me the goods that belong to me. He couldn't wait. I'll be honest with you, there's Christians today that can't wait. They're spending the retirement on the fast lane of society's greed. Christians. And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. It's got my name on it. Reserved. Reserved. Jim, you mentioned this morning in the deacons meeting about one of these days when we get to glory. How many of you have gone to a party or a wedding or something and your name is placed there and it's, this table is reserved? When we get to heaven, there's a reserved place for us. It's got our name on it. It's already there. It's already there. I love that, reserved. Number two this morning, learn to plan supernaturally. Learn to plan. What kind of plans do you have? Oh, you say it's getting summer. What kind of plans are you going to do? Or let's put it this way. Let's bring it a little closer to home. What do you plan on doing this afternoon? Personal likes and dislikes. We plan what we like to do, don't we? We plan what we like to do. There's nothing wrong with planning. God has a plan through the ages for each and every one of our lives. The problem is we don't plan to fail. We just fail to plan. We fail to plan ahead. I mentioned some time ago the man who had six eyes. He said, my barns are full, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build greater. I have much goods laid up for me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to live my life. All of that, if you notice that portion of scripture, you find it in your Bible, there are six eyes and he says, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this and I will do that. And God says at the end, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast desired? Planning supernaturally. How many of you believe that God's got a plan for your life? Okay. How many of us then, if we believe that, are living out the plan that God has us, that he wants us to live? Prepare for the fulfillment of his goals. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I write that on most of the graduation books or whatever when we see students graduate. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing. He started in you Christianity, and he will perform it until he comes. Let me move on here. Number three, I think this is important too. Learn to pray supernaturally. Pray in the Spirit. We talked about that in the Sunday school hour. I thought it was unique this morning when God brings up praying spiritually. And I thought, boy, that goes right along with the sermon today. Planning supernaturally in the Spirit. We can never ask God for too much if it's in the very will he has for our lives. A Christian organization desires the very best that God has. we have that opportunity to pray supernaturally. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Number four, learn to claim supernatural resources. God has given us supernatural resources because we're not ordinary people. We're supernatural. We're God's kids. Our lives are linked together with Christ. If you have your Bibles open there to 1 Peter, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. Our lives are linked with Christ, and we're not ordinary people. There in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Why? Now what? "That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That makes this a little bit different, doesn't it? Chosen generation. This is a unique generation. I have said this all along, that this might be the terminal generation. Might be. Well, I'm not being prophetic here. I'm just saying, I just know that God started his time clock again, ticking again for the nation of Israel in 1948. He started that time clock ticking again. They had been paused for 2,000 years. Well, ever since Nebuchadnezzar, but learn to claim supernatural resources. We're not ordinary people. We belong to the one who has given all power in heaven and earth to us and through us. And you know what? Now, because of all of these things, think, claim, pray, all these supernatural things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do them. Why? Because I'm not an ordinary person. I'm a child of Almighty God. Listen, if I come to the idea in my life where I start to live, think, and really claim what God has given to me supernaturally, I think this whole world and all of the issues and problems and the wars and the pestilence. Hey, speaking of pestilence, you know, the scripture says we're going to have pestilence in the last days. How many of you guys have ladybugs? Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Don't think for a second that that's not part of the pestilence that's coming on the scene. I just throw that out there. You try to study. You go to the office, you sit down, you try to study, and it's quiet and it's calm. And everybody else is in bed. There's no cats in the house, none of that stuff, you know. And then all of a sudden, you get attacked by stinking ladybugs. Okay? Now here this morning, you're sitting here and you're thinking and you say, yeah, I know all about that. All right, don't let Satan change your mindset right now from the very presence in your life that he wants to be. There's a lot of distractions. This world is full of distractions. It can be hobbies, it can be sports, it can be issues, it can be health, it can be finances. There are a world of distractions. And I think we would all agree that's Satan's greatest asset if he can get us distracted from where we really should be to where he would love us to be. The greatest distraction is preaching and then having communion. And I say that because communion is the priority. What I have said this morning pales in comparison to what we do this morning. What you and I do in taking these emblems is the most important, I believe, activity besides prayer that you and I can do until Jesus comes. The scripture says, for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we show forth the Lord's death till he comes. I believe every Christian ought to live expectantly, waiting anxiously for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you think he'll come today? We ought to think as if he will. Every single day we climb out of bed and our feet hit the floor. We ought to say, thank you, Lord. This may be the day of your glorious return for your church. Think supernaturally. I'm going to have the deacons come this morning, if you would, please. As we take these emblems, you see, this Jesus said to his disciples, you do this in remembrance of me. So we're doing this morning in remembrance of what Jesus did for you and I. What did he do? He did everything that God the Father required him to do to make it necessary so that you and I might live forever. Salvation comes because of what Christ did. Some of my greatest thoughts when I think of Calvary, I think of what Jesus said on the cross that day when he said, it's finished. It's finished. Three little words. It is finished. What? What was finished? Everything necessary for me. But that's not all. God's plan was finished in Christ, completed in Christ, all of it. But that's not all. Satan was finished too. Oh, Satan thought, oh man, he's dead, he's gone, he's buried. No. 3 days later, he came out of that tomb. We're going to celebrate that this month, aren't we? We're going to celebrate the resurrection. Wow. These emblems this morning, the bread and the cup. The bread speaks of the body of Christ, broken, bruised, battered, beaten, marred above any man. Why? So that no one could ever say, I suffered more than he did. It never happened. Never happened. We take these emblems today as Christians. If you're an unbeliever here today, don't take these emblems. Don't take them. They're not going to do anything for you. And if we're believers here today and we examine ourselves and we find ourselves that don't live up to maybe the standards that God has presented, it says, for this cause many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep. We need to examine ourselves, find out right where we really are spiritually. And if I'm at odds with anyone, I'm at odds with my God. So I better make it right before I ever take up these emblems. self-examination first. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Chuck, lead us in prayer this morning, will you please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done. You've done it all, Father. You knew us before the earth was created. We don't understand it. We don't try to understand it. We live by faith. Lord, you sent your Son here to pay the price for not just believers' sins, for all sins.
Yes.
From the first sin to the last sin. You didn't leave anybody out. You thought of everything. The only thing that we have to do is believe. So, Father, help us to believe. Help us, help our faith to grow. And help us to explain salvation to the little ones. It's so simple, they can understand it. But not just the little ones. Let us explain salvation to everyone. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples. He said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Shall we take together? Jim, please lead us.
Father, as we come this morning and we listen to your word, we listen to the songs, and they all came together this morning, Lord, and we thank you for that. We live in a world that is hard to live in. We turn on the news and it's all bad, and yet we can come to you and we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. We can know that if we name his name, that we are safe forever.
Yes.
As Jack has told us this morning, we have an inheritance reserved and kept by God in heaven. We thank you this morning for your love for us, Jesus, that you went to the cross, took our sin. You were the only one that could do that. And it pleased God to bruise you for us. Help us to walk worthy of that love, Lord. We'd ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Scripture says, after the same manner, Jesus took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant, or the new testament in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Shall we take together? Let's all stand. You know, communion is a love feast. It's what Christ did for his disciples because he loved them. It's a love feast for you and I because he loves us. And we do that just because of what it really means to us in our lives, because of the importance of it. And we're commanded to have communion, fellowship, not only with one another, but with him. So when we leave this place today, it ought to be joy in our hearts, unspeakable and full of glory, because of what he has done and what we were allowed to do today in having communion. What a glorious, glorious day. Thinking supernaturally of what it really means in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the glory of Christ, the privilege of salvation, the gift, the greatest gift ever given by the greatest giver of all time. And it is the experience of the greatest love gift that ever could be received. And so we thank you today. Dismiss us with your blessing, Father, and we thank you for sending your Son so that we might live. In his name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. Shake hands before you leave today.